I want to say thank you for the opportunity I have to stand before you this afternoon and proclaim God's glorious gospel. Before we get into that, I want to also say thank you for whoever it was in the Bible class that sent me this card. Not only this card, but I received two more from the congregation, the children here at the congregation at Portland. They were very encouraging. Having five children, the fifth one on the way now will be due on the 4th of July as the due date. When you get those little letters and cards from your children, it melts your heart. This was no different. And I want to say thank you, whoever you were that did that and signed that card. It's also good to see Paul Baker leading singing before I get up here and preach. Paul and I went to high school together. He was a couple years older than me. His dad, David, was at Lovelady when I was in high school. And that man can be contributed to getting the Lovelady congregation back into the Bible. Getting the Lovelady congregation, wanting the truth, yearning for the truth, and living the truth. It's good to see Paul and his wonderful family here as they labor with you here at Portland. The beautiful teaching of Christ. What a wonderful theme that it is. And if you would, be turning to John chapter 20. John chapter 20, verse number 30 and 31, as we begin to talk about that beautiful teaching of Christ. And I love the title, The Beautiful Teaching, not the teachings of Christ, but the teaching of Christ. There is unity in His teaching. There is but one gospel. There is but one body. There is but one plan of salvation, the beautiful teaching of Christ, our Lord and our Savior. John chapter 20 and verse number 30, we see this. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. Now notice verse 31. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. This is what we are seeking after, to have eternal life through the name of Jesus Christ. Salvation is not in any other name, but in the name of Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 4 and verse number 12. The scripture revealed to us the magnificence of Jesus Christ. When we think about God breathed, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. The scriptures are what reveal to us who Jesus is. It revealed to us that in following Jesus, the one that died for our sins, being obedient to him, we can have that eternal life through his name. The beautiful teaching of Christ. There is beauty in God breathed. There is beauty in inspiration. Notice what Jesus said in John chapter 5 and verse number 39. In speaking about the scriptures, he says, "Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." There is beauty in true testimony. Jesus also said, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." John chapter 6 and verse number 63, there is beauty in spiritual life. There's beauty in physical life, but there's so much more beauty in spiritual life. And you and I are to take our physical life, while we have breath to breathe, we are to take God's breath within us and live according to His word through the name of Jesus, so we can have that eternal life. Jesus also said in Matthew chapter 22 in verse number 29, He says, "You do err, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God." There are so many people today that do not understand the power of God. Romans chapter 1 and verse number 16, the gospel is the power of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 18, the preaching of the cross is the power of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 24, Jesus Christ is the power of God. But men err, not knowing the power of God, not knowing the true gospel, not knowing the good news, and not following so they can have eternal life. As we continue to look at what the scriptures reveal about Jesus Christ, turn, if you will, to Isaiah chapter 9 and verse number 6. We want to see what Isaiah penned through inspiration. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse number 6, and later we will get into Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse number 6. This is the one that you and I are talking about today. Jesus. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. There is beauty in peace. Peace with God. Appeasement from God's wrath. There is beauty in the teaching of Jesus Christ. He brings that peace to mankind. If you recall, in John chapter 1, in verse number 29, there we have John the Baptizer, and as he is looking up, he beholds Christ, and he says, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." There is beauty in Christ. There is beauty in the words of Christ. There are beauty in the mindset of Christ. There is beauty in the actions of Christ. John recognized that. John chapter 1 and verse number 29. We can think back to Peter, the Apostle Peter, in Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 16, where Jesus had asked the question, "Who do men say that I am?" Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." There is beauty in realizing who Jesus is. I hope today that you and I are realizing who Jesus is. That when we study the scriptures, we find out more and more about this man, the Son of God, the beautiful teaching of Christ. Here's what God said about Jesus. He said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Matthew chapter 17 and verse number 5. There's beauty in what God says. There's beauty in what he says because everything God does and says is truth. Matthew 28 and verse number 18, we see there is beauty and authority. All authority has been given unto Jesus in heaven and in earth. There's beauty and authority. There is beauty in preeminence. We see that in Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 18. There is beauty in the one who holds first place. That is Jesus Christ. And we are reminded after the resurrection, when Jesus had an encounter with Thomas in John chapter 20 and verse number 28, and Thomas said, "My Lord and my God." You know, there's beauty in bowing down to our King. Thomas realized that, and I hope today that you and I are realizing that in our lives day by day, that we are submitting ourselves to the King, that we understand the beauty in the teaching of Jesus Christ. Now, I want us to notice what Paul said in Galatians chapter 1 in verse number 11 and 12. Galatians chapter 1, verse 11 and 12. Here the Apostle Paul, through inspiration, penned, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." The beautiful teaching of Christ is not just what Jesus said in red in our Bibles. It is what all is written in the New Testament. Yes. Paul said that. He said in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse number 37, he said, "If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things I write are the commandments of the Lord." When you look into the book of Romans and 1 and 2 Corinthians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Timothy, Galatians, Ephesians, those are the commandments of the Lord, the beautiful teaching of Christ. Paul also penned in Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 28. Knowing about the beautiful teaching of Christ, and we'll get to why his teaching was so beautiful, why his life was so beautiful, why his death and resurrection was so beautiful to you and I. But Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 28, Paul said this, "Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus." There is beauty in the life of Christ, the death of Christ, the resurrection of Christ. There is beauty in the appearing of our Lord and Savior when the saved, the church, will meet him in the air and be with the Lord forever. There is beauty in that. Now, if you will, turn to Isaiah chapter 53 as we begin to talk about the beautiful Christ. The beautiful Christ, Isaiah chapter 53. Verse number 1 through verse number 12, as we will read this morning. Here we have a question in verse number 1. It says, "Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" We can ask the same question today. We can say, who has believed the report that we preach about our Lord and Savior. Those beautiful teachings about the gospel, about the church, about salvation, about how sin is hideous. Who has believed our report? Notice verse number 2. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. We want to talk this morning, or this afternoon rather, about the beautiful teaching of Christ. But I want us to recognize from the scriptures here, this messianic prophecy about Jesus Christ. There was nothing physically attractive about this man. It was an outward beauty that he had. And if it was an outward beauty that he has, what was it? Spiritual beauty. Inward beauty. It says there that there is no form, there's no shape, no appearance that we would long after him. There's no comeliness, there's no honor or majesty or splendor or ornament about him. There's no beauty. He's not a physical spectacle to look upon that we should desire him. But there was something different about Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Verse number 3, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Now I want you to think back before you obeyed the gospel. We didn't esteem Christ very highly. We didn't see the value in being a disciple of his. Who has believed the report? To whom has the arm of the Lord been extended? Spiritual beauty. Verse number 4. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions, brethren, that's me and you. He was bruised for our iniquities, and chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. And we like sheep have gone astray, and we have turned every one to his own way. Isn't that the problem with the world today? They don't want to follow the beautiful teaching of Christ because they've gone their own way. You and I, having gone our own way before we obeyed the gospel, that beautiful teaching of Christ. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. I'm in verse number 7 as we continue. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter and as a sheep before his shearers are dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. Because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied by his knowledge. Shall my righteous service justify many? For he shall bear their iniquities. Now I want to pause there for a minute before we get to verse number 12. We can look at this one, Jesus, not the physical appearance, but the spiritual, inward man. What he did for mankind, it was you, it was I that should have hung on that cross, but he did it in our stead. Verse number 12. Therefore, will I divide him a portion with the great, and shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many. And he made intercession for the transgressors. Everything about Jesus Christ, every aspect of what he did, everything that he taught, every thought that he had, there's beauty in it. And he did it for you and I. The beautiful Christ. We see his beauty in attitude. Turn, if you will, to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. We see the beautiful attitude, the beautiful mindset of Jesus Christ. But we also see something else, a challenge, a command for you and I today. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 5, beginning. Here it says, let this mind be in you. What mind? What mind should you and I have? What mindset should be in us as we walk this life? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God has also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, the things in heaven, the things in earth, the things under the earth. And every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. There is beauty in the mindset of Jesus Christ. He wasn't thinking about himself. He was thinking about you. He was thinking about me. He was thinking about all mankind. And he humbled himself, became of no reputation. We need to have humility in our life. It tells you and I to have the mind of Christ, that we should be of no reputation, that we should be humble in our walk. That is the beautiful teaching of Christ. But there's also beauty in his mission. Luke chapter 19 and verse number 10. He came to seek and save that which was lost. There's beauty because Christ loved us. Christ still loves us. God loves us. And God has always loved us. Matter of fact, God and Jesus love us more than we love ourselves. And we need to make sure that we understand the beautiful teaching of Christ. There is also beauty in his obedience. We see this in Hebrews chapter 5, verse number 8 and verse number 9. Beauty in his obedience. There is beauty today in our obedience to Christ as well. Christ, that wonderful example. Hebrews chapter 5, verse number 8 and 9. Though he were a son, he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. In being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all those that obey him. Beauty in Christ because of his obedience. Beauty for you and I today to live spiritually because we obey Christ and his teaching. And what a wonderful teaching it is. Jesus said in John chapter 8 and verse 29, the Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things which please him. I want you to think about your life. Growing up, did you always do the things that pleased your father, your physical father? If you look back, you can say, no, I didn't always do the things that pleased my physical father. There are numerous examples, but I'll give you one. My dad would always want us to go out into the pasture and pull goat weeds. Now, he could mow the goat weeds down. He could spray the goat weeds, but he wanted my brother and I to go out and pull the goat weeds. Now, I had a problem with that. I didn't really want to do that because I'm sitting there thinking it would be so much easier to spray or to mow them down. I said, why do we have to do this? He said, because I want you to. So we would spend days pulling goat weeds and we wouldn't get very far. Then he'd come and mow the rest of them down. I was obedient, but my mindset wasn't where it should be. Another occasion, we had this flower bed out in front of the house. And it was summer and I had my cousin there and we wanted to play video games. We wanted to play basketball. My dad said, before you do those things, I'm leaving to go to work. I want you to pull the grass out of the flower bed. Well, it had rained the night before. And it was just my cousin and I there. We're looking around and we came up with a grand strategy. We said, we're not going to pull them. We're going to take this mud and we're going to pat it over the top of it. Oh, that flower bed looked great. It was wonderful looking. My dad was so proud when he came home and saw that. Not a piece of grass anywhere. Until the next morning. When that grass popped through, I was in trouble. See, we don't always do the things growing up that are pleasing to our physical fathers, but Jesus always did the things that were pleasing to his spiritual father, his heavenly father. We need to do the things that are pleasing to our heavenly father. There's beauty in Christ because of his servitude. Mark chapter 10 and verse number 45. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus did not come to this earth to be ministered to, but to minister to others. There's beauty in that. There's beauty in servitude. There's beauty in you and I serving him because of what he did. Serving God for who he is. Serving one another because we are commanded to do such. There's beauty in His purity, the beautiful Christ. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 22. Who did not sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. There's beauty in that. There's beauty in living a pure life. We also see there's beauty in light. In John chapter 9 and verse number 5, we see that Jesus is the light of the world. If you read John chapter 1, you see that He is the Word. He was in the beginning with the Father. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with Him. All things were created by Jesus. He was the light that came to this world. The light that shines in darkness, but darkness comprehended it not. They comprehended not the beautiful teaching of Christ. Now, growing up, we had a roping arena. And the barn was a ways off from the roping arena. And my dad would rope and his friends would rope. And as they were unsaddling the horses at the barn, the lights on in the barn, it's nighttime by now. The lights to the arena were about 100 yards from the barn. And the pole that the light switch, the breaker was on, the other side of the fence was a cemetery. Now, being a young person, my dad would send us to go turn the lights off about 100 yards away. So here I am as a young man, a young child. I'm out there. I'm about to flip that switch. And as I have my hand on that switch, I have my foot pointed towards the barn, because as soon as I flip that switch, I'm gone as fast as I can. You ever had that running before where you run and you stumble and fall down, you get right back up and you're at it again, you keep doing it, you're outrunning yourself. I used to do that trying to get to the barn. But there was light in the barn. And when I flipped that switch, it was pitch darkness outside, and I wanted to run to that light. The beautiful teaching of Christ. Christ wants all men to run to Him if they want salvation. If they want eternal life, there is beauty in light. There's also beauty in sacrifice. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse number 9 says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich." Who does that? Who becomes poor that others can become rich? Jesus became poor that through His poverty you and I could be rich. You and I could have eternal life. We can live forever in heaven with the beautiful teacher, the master teacher, God, our heavenly Father, the beautiful Christ, sinless, the perfect example in mindset, in action, indeed. We want to talk for a few minutes about the beautiful theme. The beautiful theme of salvation has been brought down. And when we think about the beautiful teaching of Christ, we can't really fathom the beautiful teaching of Christ until we, through the Scriptures, realize how hideous sin is. Because when you see how ugly sin is, you can see how beautiful Christ is. As we talked about spiritually, what's on the inside of Christ, what He did for us. Sin is transgression of God's law, 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 4. All is sin and falling short of the glory of God, Romans chapter 3 and verse number 23. The wages, the payment of wages, because of our sin is death. There's a gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ, His Son. Isaiah chapter 59, verse number 1 and 2, we see it's sin that separates us from God. See, there's something ugly and hideous about sin. It separates us from our Creator. Jesus came to bring us back. He came to reconcile us. Proverbs 13, 15 reveals to us the way of the transgressor is hard. There is beauty in God's grace. Titus chapter 2, verse 11 and verse number 12. The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared unto all men. It appeared in the form of Jesus Christ, John chapter 1, verse 14 through 17. He's the one that brought grace and truth. And that grace teaches us that we should deny ungodliness and worldly lusts and live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. There is beauty in the grace of God. There's beauty in reconciliation. We see in Romans chapter 5, verse 6 through 10, that we are justified, that we are reconciled by the blood of Christ. Brethren, there's beauty in the blood of Christ. There's beauty in Christ being willing to shed his blood for you and I and for all mankind. There is beauty in that. Because there is ugliness and hideousness in sin. And Christ came that we can be reconciled and justified. There is beauty in propitiation through the blood of Christ. Romans chapter 3, verse 25, 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 2. You see, God's wrath would be outpoured on you and I if we had not contacted the blood of Christ through baptism. Jesus being that propitiation, being that mercy seat, being that appeasement of God's wrath for you and I. He did it for you. He did it for me. He did it for all mankind. But all mankind will not obey the beautiful teaching of Christ. One who was willing to die in our stead. There is beauty in redemption. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and verse number 19. It says, by the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. There is beauty in redemption. That's how we're redeemed. Not by corruptible things, but by the incorruptible. By his blood. There's beauty in freedom, brethren. John chapter 8 and verse number 32. And if you have not obeyed the gospel, then you are a slave to sin. Sin is having its way with you. But if you want to be a disciple of Christ, John chapter 8 and verse 31, you have to continue in his beautiful teaching. And it is the truth that will set one free. John 17 and verse 17, God's word is truth. Jesus is the word. Jesus, everything about him is truth. No guile, no falsehoods. There is beauty in freedom from sin. There's also beauty in construction. Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 18. When Jesus said that he would build his church and the gates of hell should not or shall not prevail against it. There is beauty in construction. The house of God, 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 15. You and I that have obeyed the gospel have been added to the church by the Lord. Acts chapter 2 and verse 47. There is beauty in construction. There is beauty in being in that safe place of refuge. Acts chapter 20 and verse number 28. The church was purchased by the blood of Christ. See, there's beauty in the blood of Christ. Why? Why is there beauty in the blood of Christ? Hebrews 9:22, without shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Those that obey the gospel, you and I have our sins remitted. Just like those on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, when they heard that first gospel sermon, they repented. And they were baptized, having their sins remitted and washed away. Now we want to talk for a moment about the beautiful bride. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 27, we see this. The glorious church without spot or wrinkle, and that we are to be holy and without blemish. Christ wants you and I to live a certain way. See, there is beauty in being the bride of Christ, being a member of that blood-bought institution, being a member of the one church. There's beauty in that. Christ is the Savior of the body, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 23. But I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 11 and verse number 28 through 30. The beautiful teaching of Christ, I want us to notice the beautiful invitation. Now, we get invitations. I got an invitation to come and speak, and I'm glad I did. I want to say thank you for that. We get invitations to weddings and wedding showers, to baby showers. We get invitations to graduations. But I want us to notice the beautiful invitation extended by our beautiful teacher. Matthew chapter 11, verse number 28 through 30. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. What an invitation that is. Come unto me. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. See, the beautiful teacher, the beautiful teachings of Christ has a beautiful invitation that all men can respond to it if they are willing to come to Christ. Revelation 22 and verse number 17. Here we find, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. What a wonderful, magnificent invitation. It's beautiful. To all mankind, that they can have their sins remitted, that they can follow the teachings of the beautiful teacher, that they can live the beautiful life as members of the one body, that heaven will be their home one day. What is more beautiful than being in heaven all eternity with Jesus Christ and God our Father? The beautiful gospel call, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 14. We talked about the grace being brought down and how that grace is in Jesus Christ. He is the grace and the truth. We're called by the gospel, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 14. We're called into one body, Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 15. The beautiful invitation, the beautiful call. The question is, have you answered the call? You need to do that if you haven't. Turn, if you will, to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. The Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, Matthew chapter 6, Matthew chapter 7. I want us to notice some scripture that we are familiar with, but the world shuns. Look at verse number 13, if you will, Matthew chapter 7. The beautiful way has only one road. John chapter 14 and verse number 6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. The beautiful invitation. One road, and it's a beautiful road. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth to life, and few there be that find it. There is but one road. It is a narrow road. It is a straight road, and few are going to find it. Although the invitation is beautiful, although the propitiation is beautiful, although the grace and mercy of God is beautiful, the teaching of Christ is beautiful, most will not respond to the glorious gospel. What a shame it is. There's one door to the sheepfold. That is Jesus Christ, John chapter 10 and verse number 7. There is beauty in access. There is beauty in walking through that door and being in Christ. There's a body. It's a beautiful body. It's a spiritual body, and there is only one, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 4. There is one faith, and it is beautiful, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 5. Matter of fact, we are to have the same mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 27. The churches were established in the faith, Acts chapter 16 and verse number 5. There's one entry into this beautiful body. As we mentioned, it goes through Jesus Christ. But after hearing the word of God, after repenting of one's sins, after confessing him to be the Son of God, one, if they want to have access to the Father, if they want to be a member of the one body, if they want to be obedient to the faith, they have to be baptized into Christ, Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 27. But most won't do that. Most do not realize the beauty of being in Christ. They don't understand that all spiritual blessings are in Christ, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. They don't understand that grace and salvation is in Christ, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 and verse 10. They don't understand that there's no condemnation in Christ, Romans chapter 8 and verse number 1. They haven't read that the church is in Christ, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 2. There is beauty in being in Christ. We need to make sure that we're in Christ and abiding in Christ. There is beauty in true worship. Our master teacher said in John chapter 4 and verse number 24, God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. There's beauty in that. There's beauty in worshiping our God the way he has prescribed to us to worship. There is beauty in the demonstration of our love towards God. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. John chapter 14 and verse number 15. As we begin to close, I want us to notice this as well. There is beauty in being a disciple of Christ. Christ said that we are to deny ourselves, take up our cross daily and follow him. Luke 9:23. There is beauty in contending for the faith. Jude, verse 3. There's beauty in fighting the good fight of faith. 1 Timothy 6:12. There's beauty in abiding in Christ. John 15, verse 1 through 8. Notice this beauty, brethren. Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 10, if you will look there. Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 10. We'll look at Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 11. And then the lesson will be yours and mine today to think about and to meditate upon. As you're turning to Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 10, I want us to notice and think about the repulsiveness of these things. I want us to think about the repulsiveness of falsehoods, Matthew chapter 7 and verse 15, 2 John verse 9 through 11. The repulsiveness of the doctrines of men, they're vain, Mark 7, 7. The repulsiveness of hypocrisy. Jesus said, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Luke chapter 6 and verse 46. The repulsiveness of lip service. Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 21. It's not enough to say, "Lord, Lord," but we have to do what He says. But doing that, brethren, what He says, Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 10. At the end of that verse, it says, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." Now flip over a chapter to verse number 11, chapter 3. I want us to notice the beauty in this for you and I as members of the church. Sometimes the task at hand seems daunting. Sometimes it seems maybe we won't make it. But Jesus, that master teacher, the beautiful teaching of Christ, He says, hold on. He says to you and I, "Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown." There's beauty in the teaching of Christ. That we obey the gospel. We live according to the gospel, knowing that we will be judged by the gospel. Romans chapter 2 and verse number 16. Hold on to that crown of righteousness. Let no man take it from you. There is hope in Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 10 and verse number 16, we see the sadness that will echo throughout all eternity. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, "Lord, who hath believed our report?" Thank you.